Well, good morning. It is a privilege to teach this morning. And the Lord has impressed on my mind one word for this morning that we will unpack and reflect on together. It is the word dependence. Dependence. Jesus said to his disciples, John chapter 15, "You are the branches, I'm the vine. If you stay connected to me, you can bear much fruit. But apart from me, you cannot do anything." It is this call to radical dependence that is the key to dynamic discipleship. So can I ask you this morning, would you be willing to answer a question as we proceed this morning? How will I become more dependent on God? Because this is the key to our discipleship. Answer that question about your attitude, about your practice, about the way you live. We're going to celebrate the communion meal as this message lands and then have some time to think and pray together. How will I become more dependent on God? We are studying the Lord's Prayer together, and so we're going to repeat it as the words appear on the screen and reflect on the beauty of this prayer that is the answer to the disciples' question to Jesus, "Would you teach us to pray?" And he gives them this beautiful model. So can I invite us to say the prayer together? Together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The focus this morning is that little phrase, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, it's an interesting phrase following straight on from, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then, "And please provide dinner." Many have thought through the ages reflecting on this, it almost seems like a disconnect. So what I want to teach on this morning is food and kingdom as we see it in the Bible. Food matters in kingdom realities. It matters in what we see in the scriptures. And so to unpack this, I want to start with two kingdoms of this world that we find in the Bible. We're going to go to Babylon first and then to Egypt. So in Babylon, we're near the end of the Old Testament story. And it's Daniel that I want us to focus on. He is one of the young men who gets chained up and taken off to Babylon to be reprogrammed as a citizen of this new empire. And Babylon is a lot like our day. So pay attention. We'll learn some things about our lives, about this prayer, and about depending on God. So Babylon is this empire ruled over by powerful people that is spreading and taking over so much territory. By this time in the story, the people of Israel have learned so much, but they have failed so miserably. And do you know where they've failed? They have failed to depend upon God. They have failed to take God at his word and obey. They have failed to trust. And because of this, the wonderful kingdom of Israel is collapsing, and the people have been exiled to Babylon. So in Babylon, Daniel arrives as a young man, and in the book of Daniel, the opening story is a food story. He arrives in Babylon. They're going to reprogram him. There's an education component. There is some exercise component. There is a food component. And they say to Daniel and his mates, "We're going to feed you the best this land has to offer." And Daniel says, "Oh, I'd rather not. I'd rather eat the food of the kingdom of my God. I'd rather nourish my body and soul on that which is my practice as a follower of the Lord God of heaven and earth." And so there's a bit of a dialogue. He says, "How about we do this? Let's have an experiment. Let me nourish myself on the food that my God provides. And we'll let a bit of time go by and you can assess. So you need to read the book of Daniel. What an amazing book about kingdom and the kingdoms of this earth and how God is at work in those kingdoms. And here is a young man who is pulled out of his place of comfort, taken to a foreign empire, and he says, I want to be nourished on the things of the kingdom of God. I want to eat the food that is right for me. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are asking God to give us what we need. It is a prayer of dependence. And here is young Daniel saying, those are lovely looking sweets, but I'll have some vegetables. You can read this physically, so we should, and metaphorically, so we should. The food of the kingdom matters. So let me ask you, how are you fostering dependence on God? How would you answer the question today? How will you become more dependent on God? How will you make choices to feed your soul on the Word of God, to feed your life in the things of God, very specifically, to feed your body? Where does your food come from? Who are you trusting? How are you depending? What choices are you making to be more dependent on God? Because here's the thing. In Babylon, you can live in the luxuries of the empire and never know there's a problem. So we go forward in the story of Daniel and Babylon. Daniel can interpret dreams. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, has dreams. In the first one, it's a big statue, and Daniel identifies, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the golden head. You are God's appointed person for this moment and this season. You are the one through whom God is going to care for the nations. You are the food provider for everyone. Nebuchadnezzar says, that's fantastic. I like that story. And in chapter 3, he builds a big idol to himself and asks everybody to worship him. And in chapter 4, it all comes unstuck. And you can see this story rolling open because God judges the arrogant leader. God judges the self-appointed, aggrandized, look at me, individual. And when that happens, there is a lot of consequent and suffering. So we come to chapter 4, and Nebuchadnezzar has gone through this amazing experience. He has been humbled, he has repented, he has returned to God, and now he's writing a letter to the empire. It is a great story. You need to take a cup of coffee and an hour and just read this amazing story. We'll talk about it more in the next season when we teach on the book of Revelation, because Revelation draws from Daniel. So we're in chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar has gone through this terrible experience. He's now communicating to his empire what has happened. And he uses imagery from yet another dream that he had. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. We learn from the interpretation that Daniel gives that that tree is Nebuchadnezzar. Now listen to this. The tree grew large and strong. Its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit was abundant. And on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. Empires are about food. And food and empire matter a lot. And kingdom and food matter a lot. And so here we are in Babylon with a king whom God is going to use, who is an amazing tree that feeds, makes possible for food security for everyone. And then that leader gets so caught up in himself, such an ego blast, that he collapses. And do you know what the consequence of that is? Everybody under his care lives in pain for a season. So, you might pray the Lord's Prayer and come to this sentence, give us today our daily bread, and think, got that one covered. I've got dinner in the fridge. I've got food in the cupboard. I've got money in the bank. This prayer is for other people, God bless their hearts, but not for me, because it's all good. It's just that you live in an empire. You are trusting a chain of realities. You are trusting some individuals who sit in places of authority to do the right thing. And what you and I need always to understand is behind all of that is the powerful reality, the judgment and truth of the living God, the grace and mercy of our Creator. So here's the thing. It may feel today like I am secure, but it can all disappear so very quickly. And this is why we pray this prayer. Because when we are praying, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are bypassing all the system that sits between us and the Creator of the universe, who is the source of our food. And it's why we live in the empire making choices. Just because it's available to me doesn't mean I'm going to have it. Just because it's there and it looks good doesn't mean it's good for me. I need to make choices that make me dependent on God, yes? I need to live in such a way that I'm not swallowed up by the empire. Because to be swallowed up by the empire is to think blissfully, it's all good, and I'm the one who's making it happen. I mean, where do you think that money came from in the bank? I did that. And where do you think this dinner came from? I made that. Well, yes, but we did it all with God's original materials. I love that story. It's a silly little story, but a contest between God and a very arrogant ruler. And the really arrogant ruler says, "I know how to make human beings." And God says, "Oh, that's my original creation. Shall we have a contest?" And the arrogant ruler says, "Yes, let's do that." And so they both lean down to take a handful of dirt. And God looks at the arrogant ruler and says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Get your own dirt." It's all about where you start, isn't it? And the profound truth that the scriptures keep reminding us is that when you chase the tree to the top, it is God. The ruler may be the golden head, but it is God who put him there. It is God that we are leaning upon, and we must recognize it, and you will do well to reflect on how you are exercising dependence on God. The choices you are making to be more dependent and know that you are trusting him, because in an empire, you can live feeling really secure and not actually see the problem, the danger of our souls. This might be in your attitude. It might be in the way you push into your devotional experience. It might be in choices you make about career, in choices you make about parenting, in the way that you live to be dependent on God. So keep asking yourself, how am I going to become more dependent on God in my life? All right, that's Babylon. Let's go to another empire, Egypt. This story happens near the beginning of Israel's trajectory, and this is the story of Joseph, who goes down as a slave again into Egypt, and the story begins with a food story. It begins with Joseph having a dream, and in his dream, he and his brothers are in the field bundling up the grain. And lo and behold, Joseph's bundle of grain gets big, preeminent, awesome, stands above all the rest. And his brothers' bundles of grain, even his father, begin to bow down to Joseph's exalted bundle of grain. Well, this is quite a dream for a 17-year-old to have and to share with his brothers. Puts a cat among the pigeons because they all think of it as, "Poh, Joseph. You're just an arrogant teenager. Like you're just so full of yourself." And probably Joseph didn't respond that well either. The dream has nothing to do with making Joseph prominent. That's a little piece of the story, but we get all the way to the end and Joseph explains this was meant for the saving of many lives. Because the food story is the calling for Joseph. Joseph, you are going to serve food security for the nations of this region, for the next generation. The Joseph story is a food story. It's food and kingdom. It's about how God sits behind the rulers of this world. And so we go forward in the story, and the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt, has some dreams. He can't figure them out. His magicians can't figure them out. Someone says, I remember being in prison with a chap named Joseph. He was a dream interpreter, very good at it, actually. Each thing he said came true. The Pharaoh says, bring that Joseph fella in here. I want him to figure out my dreams. And Joseph does exactly that. Two dreams. The first dream, there were seven fat, sleek cows that came up out of the Nile. And just a few minutes later, seven skinny, ugly cows came up out of the Nile. And in the Pharaoh's dream, the skinny cows ate the fat cows. Well, there's a dream that would send you into a spin. What's going on? He fell back asleep and he had another dream that mirrored the first dream. This time it was seven heads of grain, full, plump, beautiful, followed by seven heads of grain that were scorched and thin and withered. And then the seven withered heads of grain ate the seven beautiful heads of grain. And so Pharaoh says to Daniel, what in the world is going on? Daniel says, there's no way I could know, except that the God of this universe, the creator of the world, has shown me what this means, and I'm going to tell you. It means that there's going to be 7 great years of harvest followed by 7 years of famine. You know what the king's responsibility was, the pharaoh's responsibility was, the emperor's responsibility was? To make sure the people got fed. It was an exchange. We'll honor you. We'll let you live in a big house. We'll do what you say, but you have to keep us safe and feed us. Well, you know what the great problem was for ancient leaders? They couldn't see the famines coming. They weren't in control of the weather. And so you have some good years, and then it would go bad, and the people would revolt and kill the leaders. And so here is God leaning in to provide food security, not only for Egypt, but for the whole region. And he's doing it through one individual who has said, I will follow God's way. That's the story of Joseph's life. He is that person who says, I will be dependent on God. I will live in God's way. Never underestimate the power of your decision to be more dependent on God. Who knows? God might use you to address food security for a nation. So this story tells us that in behind all the mechanics of politics, there is a God of justice. There is a God of care. And he will come to the rescue of those who are in need. He will feed the hungry. He will bring a day of jubilee that will serve the needs of those in most difficult circumstances. And he cares for people. So when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're not just praying for yourself. You and I are praying for the whole world. We're praying for people everywhere. And it's one of the great injustices of our world that I pray the prayer with a fridge full. And elsewhere in the world, the prayer is being prayed with a gnawing tummy. And we serve a God who sees all this. And he cares, and he is on about justice, and he wants his dependent people to push into places that are uncomfortable, to do things that are not straightforward and simple, to commit themselves in ways that will serve those with the greatest need. This requires dependence on God. All right, quickly, we're going to land. So we've been to Babylon. We've been to Egypt. We can see how food security works in the kingdoms of this world and the work of God in behind. Never, never forget that. It's why you pray when your fridge is full with thanksgiving and why you pray when your heart is moved by those who have nothing. Now, the next kingdom is the kingdom of Israel. It's the story in the wilderness. So these people of God live in Egypt. They've experienced God's provision, then they live for many years as slaves, but they have a meal every day. It's really good. God says, right, I'm going to take you as my people out of this nation and make you into a separate nation, my people. So he gathers them all up. They're going to be the kingdom of the living God. He pulls them out of Egypt and they go into the wilderness. And what is the first question they ask? Where's the food? What have you done, Moses? Are you out of your mind, man? We're out here, hundreds of thousands of us, and there's not a single refrigerator. What are you thinking? Because that is the question for the leader. And that is why we pray this prayer, because our leader is the King of all kings. It is the question. Where's the food? And we must learn dependence on God. So here's God's answer. You don't need to worry. You need to eat meals every day? Yeah, so every day, this is what's going to happen in the kingdom of God. The food is just going to fall out of the sky. You just walk out of your tent, you just gather it up on the ground, gather yourself 1.5 kilos, you can press it together, you can boil it, you can bake it, you can fry it. It's an amazing substance, this manna that falls from heaven. And every day, I'll give you your bread. That's the kingdom of God. Is that the one you're living in? Or you're living in the empires of this world, which sell such a story of stability, but it is so unreal. Here in the kingdom of God, every day, the bread falls, except for one day. And so God is always on about teaching us dependence on him. And he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this up to test you. And I want to see your faithfulness. Let me read to you from Exodus 16. This is the message. God said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you. The people will go out and gather each day's ration. I'm going to test them to see if they'll live according to my teaching or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they have gathered, it will turn out to be twice as much as their daily ration. So what God said to his people is every seventh day, I don't want you to work. Every seventh day, I don't want you to collect up the food from the ground. Every seventh day, I want you to know how incredibly dependent you are on me. And every sixth day, I'll do a miracle. I'll send you what you need, and it will last for 2 days. When you read the whole story, you realize it's amazing because the manna on the other days went bad after 24 hours. It always went bad, except on the day before Sabbath. It is a beautiful picture of God's sustaining grace and a reminder that in this, there is the test of dependence. I want to know if my people will depend on me or if they're going to look to the Nebuchadnezzars and the pharaohs of this world. I want to know if they can transcend all of that and see me and know me and trust in me. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Do you see the connection? Do you see the powerful connection? So, how are you going to become more dependent on God? What will it look like for you to shift your patterns, for you to shift your thinking and become more dependent on God? God lives with his people in the wilderness in this way, and then he asks them to go and take the promised land, and we see the problem when you're not exercising dependence, when you're not learning dependence. Because the manna fell from heaven, but you know what the people did? They grumbled all the time. They said, sure, that's manna. But we want meat. The human soul is so restless. Our inner ways can be so boisterous. God wants us to learn dependence. He wants us to practice trust. And that means making choices where you know that you need God to turn up. You need God to be faithful. You need God to be with you. It is possible in an empire to build a life where you don't really need God. But the kingdom of God, living in God's rule and reign, is a walk of dependence. The key to dynamic discipleship is radical dependence on God. So, will you answer the question, how will I become more dependent on God? That's what this prayer is all about. That's what this prayer is all about. So we're going to pause right here, and I'm going to ask you to just think about this. How are you going to answer it? How will you become more dependent on God? We'll just take a couple of moments of quiet, and I'll let you think about this. Lord, you see us, you know us. Help us respond to your invitation. Show us. We want to be more dependent on you, Lord.